Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Joe Barry Carroll, Sleepy Floyd, Joey Devine, Lorenzo Romar, Michael Ray Richardson, Sean Keith, World B3, Lester Connor, musical guest Evanescence, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hey Sean, question about Evanescence appearing on the show today.
Yeah.
It's not Evanescence featuring that one guy from Saliva or whatever, so are they not playing their hit?
Break Me Up Inside or whatever.
Yeah,
that
right?
One's
wasn't
called?
That didn't that feature a man who rapped from
a
different band?
I guess I had just always assumed he was in Evanescence. But maybe not.
I mean, I guess I have to look this up now. But, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Now I'm like, also, was Evanescence a Christian rock group?
I believe they were, yeah.
Okay.
The song is called Bring Me to Life.
Bring Me to Life.
Now, let's see if it's featuring anyone.
Okay.
Sean, not a lot of news today.
No, not a ton. Not a ton. There's a couple of crucial stories, I would say. I don't know if necessarily these are NBA specific or super relevant to the coming season, but there are a couple things that I felt like I kind of care deeply about, weirdly.
So Bring Me to Life features uncredited guest vocals from Paul McCoy from the band 12 Stones. So maybe he is appearing today because he is uncredited.
12 Stones, do you think they're a Christian band?
Well, I'll tell you one thing they can't do.
What's that?
Wake up!
They are considered post-grunge alternative rock / alternative metal / Christian rock / new metal, and they are still active today.
Evanescence is, of course, Jesus's paramour.
Uh-huh.
That right?
Yeah, that sounds right. the main 12 Stone songs, a lot of them have been used in wrestling events.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The Elektra soundtrack and the Daredevil soundtrack.
Well, Bring Me to Life is in the movie Daredevil several times, I believe.
Oh. Is anyone brought to life in that movie? I have actually never seen Daredevil.
I mean, you don't have to.
I'm not missing out, pretty recently,
I'll be honest. a major plot line of the Ben Affleck movie Daredevil is he likes to crank new metal really, really loud in his apartment at all hours of the day to drown out the sounds of the city or whatever.
Oh, because it echolocation. Senses her too.
Yeah. And he sleeps just like Joe Rogan in a sensory deprivation tank.
Wow. You know who, isn't that kind of similar to what The Accountant does as well?
It is very similar to The Accountant. It is very much an accountant level performance, I would say.
I felt weird. I watched The Accountant with my girlfriend, and like two thirds of the way in, we were both like, this is weird, but I wish there was more accounting.
Sure. Wouldn't it be weird if, like, Jason Bourne had a job like that, too? It's just weird that that is, like, the hook of that movie is it's like, what if the Bourne identity also did math?
Yeah. Well, and it also, to me, it really reads like a movie where they had written a character with, like, severe autism, and some groups were like, whoa, you have got to add some scenes about this not being a terrible, like,
yeah, not where autism doesn't make you more likely to murder.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is the plot, but then they have some tacked on stuff where it's like, yeah, they just need a autism school, and then
right,
yeah.
Before we get to some basketball news today, some business real quick. You can always email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. We want to hear your emails. It's getting into some slow times, so probably be doing some listener questions again pretty soon. So send those our way. Also, follow us on Twitter at roundrockpod. And it's fantasy season, both football and basketball. And if you Venmo me a dollar, we will name your fantasy football or basketball
incredible.
Teams.
Incredible. It's such a good deal.
Yeah. Some of the names we had last year that were very good. Fumbledore, Dean of Pigskindor, I believe was my favorite name we gave someone. Do you remember some of the other names we had, Sean?
I kind of don't, actually.
I also kind of don't. But we did have lots of
names. We named a lot of them. Yeah, people seemed happy. But I don't totally remember what any of them were.
No. They were good. They were good names, though, I promise.
They were good. They were really good. Yeah.
Sean, you know what you should name your fantasy football team this year?
Oh, yeah. What should I name it?
Daddy's Always Happy.
Oh, my God. That's so disturbing.
Yeah, that leads us to our top story of the day.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this is possibly the most Roundball Rock story we've ever had to cover. Gordon Hayward from the Celtics, you know.
Yes. The Great White Hope.
Told Celtics fans today that he would like Celtics fans to chant "Daddy's Always Happy" at him.
I hate that. I hate that so much. Like, I'm unhappy. Okay. I never like it when basically anyone says daddy at any point that is over the age of, what's the daddy cutoff? 8?
I don't even like it at 8.
It's okay if you've had, like, a traumatic event happen. Like, if you have a broken leg, whatever. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like, 6, maybe?
I wouldn't even go that far, dude. Daddy is the way what the internet has turned daddy into a strictly sexual term.
Yes.
Now, and it's even worse when a child says it, I think. Now, it really, I hate it.
I don't like daddy long legs. I just like, yeah, even
do you like the board game Don't Wake Daddy?
I mean, that's weird now because.
Oh, you think? It was weird then.
It was weird that. It was weird then. Like, I lived in the Castro district of San Francisco so long that, it really changed my perspective on daddy forever. Like, even if you were like, Criss Cross was around now and they were like, Daddy Mac will make you jump, and it'd be like, is this like some kind of weird dom sub relationship that Criss Cross have with each other?
So can I read you something that makes this worse?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, so
not only is this the worst chant ever, let me read you.
So he wants. So sorry, just to reestablish this. Sorry, Gordon Hayward wants Celtics fans to chant during games when he enters the game. Daddy's always happy.
Yes, which does not make sense.
Also, how do you chant that?
Daddy's
always I hate it so much. And it doesn't work. Always isn't a word you can chant. Like, daddy's happy would at least work as a... Oh, god damn it. Okay.
So let me read you, because I didn't understand the origin of this. This appeared to me when I saw it as a headline. It like came out of the blue, like, because first off, before we get to the reasoning, is there a less our friends over at the Take It or Break It podcast always talk about Daddy LeBron.
Yeah.
And how, and you know what I'm going to say? That's like one, when they're talking about it, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, because it's all about the power dynamic, and it's very clear, like, for whatever reason, LeBron does not have a particularly sexual vibe, would say.
Yeah, Daddy LeBron and Daddy Warbucks are the only times I'm okay with Daddy, I think, now.
I think that's
with
right.
Someone being called Daddy, yeah. Daddy Warbucks, still a cool name. Very cool name.
Yeah, it sounds cool. He was the original compassionate conservative.
The version of Daddy Warbucks that exists for us today is Marcus Lemonis, the prophet on CNBC.
That's true. That's the only good billionaire.
But is there a less daddy player than Gordon Hayward?
No, because I would say the Celtics clearly have a daddy, and his name is Al Horford, right?
I would think no.
You don't feel like he... Well, he's not daddy in the LeBron sense. Sorry, he's more of a father figure.
Yeah, he's pop-up.
He's pop-up, that's right.
The media wants us to think Brad Stevens is daddy there, but he is not.
You can't be daddy if you've never had sex.
And you're an incel, yeah.
He has two clearly adopted children, which he has raised as his false biological children. But, well, okay, it's possible that those children were the product of a sperm donation. I will keep that possibility alive.
Look, the only daddy at the Celtics is Daddy Ainge.
It's very true. Yeah. He'll punish you for playing with a torn hip muscle and send you away.
He has definite problems dealing with grief, what with how he's always trading people with dead relatives.
That's true. That's true. Daddy doesn't like a towel getting thrown in his face, like when he was coaching the Suns and gave the Lakers Robert Horry and made his career.
He likes deals, hence the Chipotle thing.
Daddy's bringing home a bowl of carnitas. Get ready. And white rice. That's the most Daddy Age thing, that he eats Mexican food all the time, but it's always with white rice.
Yeah. And then Kyrie Irving is not very daddy either. He's like a...
He's like a weird uncle. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say he's like, obviously he's a weird uncle. He's Uncle Drew, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess. Literally he is.
But no, he's more like the Hail Bop Comet cult leader.
Yeah,
whatever he is.
Right. That guy might have been like an admiral of some kind. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, he could be like the captain of a spaceship.
Not
in any kind of military capacity. Now I'm
like a weird Guardians of the Galaxy style captain role.
Oh yeah, I guess that's
not in any, you know, he's not like running the Battlestar Galactica.
You know, the reason I thought the reason I thought the guy who led Heaven's Gate was named the Admiral is that his name was Marshall.
Uh-huh.
But that's just his birth name. He was not any kind of law enforcement official.
Hey, if you can hear hissing in the background, some sprinklers went on 10 feet away from me, so I'm sorry about that.
We apologize.
they should be done in a second. So I guess now I should introduce context to Daddy's.
Oh, yeah. That...
I'm going to read you just the direct quote from this NBC.com, NBC Sports.com. I don't know what. It was from Kurt Hellen, retweeted it into my feed. It was, quote, "While streaming on his Twitch channel this week, Hayward said he believes fans should break out a chant of 'Daddy's always happy' when he takes the court at home. This is a reference to the viral video of Hayward reacting to the gender reveal of his latest child."
I hate that so
much. Those are the worst set of sentences I think we've read on this podcast ever. That includes the multiple times we've read the Ray Allen sects.
I mean, he is... Okay, look, Gordon Hayward, legit Twitch channel. He's a competitive Halo player. A real nerd. But he had a gender reveal viral video.
Like, where he said the phrase, "Daddy's always happy" at some point. Yes.
Like I guess, with a boy or a girl?
Well, look, here's the thing. Celtics fans gotta stop, man. There's no reason to be watching gender reveal Gordon Hayward videos.
Yeah, dude,
I didn't know this existed. In fact, there's no reason to be making gender reveal videos unless you're sending them to like a faraway relative, and in that case, the video should be like, "Grandma, it's gonna be a boy."
Yeah, like, and we're sending him to this boarding academy. Yeah,
not firing different colored confettis into the air while an alligator snaps at your pregnant wife's feet.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Like,
stop
like,
it.
Also, who cares? Like the baby's gonna be like, you're gonna know, for one thing. And you're like, "Oh, thank God, we know the gender of Gordon Hayward's baby. Thank God." Don't Boston fans have, like, a really good baseball team, a compelling football team, a city rich in history? But no, you goddamn nerds are just on your computers watching a viral video of Gordon, the gender reveal. It's so creepy. Why are you so interested in someone else's unborn baby? Get out of here. Also, it's 2018. Look, that gender reveal should happen when the child is like 18 years old. Right?
Yeah, gender is a construct.
Yeah, is he going to have to make a new video if, you know, what if that child's non-binary? It's not that unlikely. Gordon Hayward needs like a pronoun tutorial video. And then he just shoots off a bunch of confetti and it spells out, "I'm sorry."
My gender reveal video for my child, it's just going to shoot out yellow confetti that says they/them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot more, it's very respectful.
Here's the thing. Uh-huh. I have a feeling this is Gordon Hayward is specifically angling for one Celtics fan's love here.
Uh-huh. Is that Bill Simmons?
You know
Simmons?
Who that is? It is Bill Simmons.
the
fellow Twitch streamer Bill Simmons.
Yes, who is revealing a lot about his children. Not necessarily their gender, but their Instagram handles.
Yeah.
You know, his son did have an amazing analogy about Migos recently. I'm kidding. Kevin Durant shut that down. That was the coolest thing Kevin Durant's done since coming to the Warriors.
Wait, CJ McCollum's Bill Simmons' son? But no, because as our friend of the pod, editor at Deadspin.com, uh-huh, David J. Roth, pointed out one time.
Yes.
Bill Simmons in 2014 tried to start a Twitter account called Celtics Chants.
Yes.
And one of the chants he wanted the Celtics fans to chant during a playoff game against LeBron James was, "We can smell it.
We can smell it." Yeah, he started this May 11th, 2010. The first suggested chant was, New York Knicks for LeBron's first trip to the free throw line.
Okay. That doesn't make any sense. But we don't need to relitigate Celtics at Celtics chance.
They have not tweeted since 2012.
The definite worst Celtics chant is "We can smell it," right? The definitive worst Bill Simmons Celtics chant is "We can smell it."
That is for sure the worst, yes.
So here's my question. Is "We can smell it" a better chant than "Daddy's always happy"?
Yes. No. "Daddy's always happy" is the worst. I do have to say, "We can smell it" is pretty bad. But chanting WNBA at Vince Carter, that didn't age well.
No.
That's
even though we did put up a podcast yesterday where we were making fun of the WNBA.
Well,
to be fair.
No, I mean, not making fun.
I know. Yeah. I know. I was kidding. Again, gender's a construct.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Juana Man should be allowed to play wherever he wants to play.
Look,
I mean, where they want to play. Anything else you want to say about "Daddy's Always Happy"?
No, I would just say check out, just go to Twitter and search for Celtics chants and keep up on everything that's going on. Like, you know, they're going to need a Jason Tatum chant soon.
Here's
maybe "Nephew's Always Happy"? I don't know.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Are Celtics fans going to try and chant this for Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, they're idiots. You ever seen like all this like high school sports bullshit that happens at Fenway Park and stuff?
When they like unroll banners about how baseball is racist or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But just like adult men yelling at other adult men, like, "We gotta do it. They need us. We need the crowd to carry us." I just remember like something like 10 years ago, someone was talking on Inside the NBA about, like, hostile crowds and, like, places to play. And Charles Barkley was just like, "The crowd doesn't matter. Come on." Like, you're cosplaying.
Now, what I do want to point out real quick before we leave this topic.
Yeah.
Is I did ask noted Celtics fan Mike Malloy.
Uh-huh.
I tweeted the headline at him and just said, "Hey, Mike Malloy, please defend this." And his response was, "I told you, he's on the trading block." So that is how indefensible this chant is, that noted Boston homer Mike Malloy is not even willing to defend it, let alone make fun of me or fight me over it. Things he would definitely enjoy doing.
Oh my God.
If it were defensible.
I don't want to say this, but I think all Danny Ainge is waiting for is something to go wrong in the pregnancy of Gordon Hayward's wife, and then
Jesus,
he will be
don't say
down
that
down.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry, I won't say that. I'm not saying that. I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll just trade him after he, like, closes on a home, maybe? Like, enrolls his child in preschool? Something with, like, a punishing personal commitment that Danny Ainge would ruin. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get off of this before it gets even darker.
Okay.
the other thing we wanted to talk about today.
Yes.
Is Kawhi Leonard wrote a letter to the mm-hmm. fans of San Antonio.
Yeah. Joey, would you like to read this letter?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's difficult to read.
It is.
Because every sentence ends in an exclamation point.
It is like a Michael Scott screenplay. Kind of.
Yeah. But here we go. San Antonio. I've been going back and forth the last few weeks trying to figure out the right things to say, and it comes down to two simple words. Thank you! My family and I want to say thank you to the entire Spurs organization and the people and fans of San Antonio. Thank you! To every one of my teammates I've played with over my 7 years in the NBA. Thank you, Pop. I'll always be grateful for my growth under your guidance. Thank you to the fans. There is not a more passionate or dedicated fan base than what I've witnessed in San Antonio. Through all the ups and downs, I'm glad there were many more ups. I'll never forget what we have shared and accomplished together. While I'm looking forward to the next chapter in my career, I'll always remember the city and the people of San Antonio. Thank you. Thank you, Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. Thank you is in all caps every time, by the way. I think
That's
you did a good
I
job.
Read it that way, yeah.
It was a really good performance.
Thank you. Thank you.
So he... Let's just start at the beginning.
He's well,
been going...
Before that.
Oh, yeah. No, please no. Describe the appearance of the letter. Yeah.
It is in a very strange color blue, and in a font I do not recognize. It's like almost Arial, but not quite as like businessy as Arial.
Yeah, it feels like something that would be like the default, like getting an email from your grandma. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it's like the letters are too big and it's kind of it's like a light blue too.
Yeah. Oh, and it also has his terrible hand logo at the bottom.
Which no one likes.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, I hate that. Okay. So here's, so you said that the appearance in general, reminded you of Dan Gilbert's letter
to the season ticket holders. Yes, I tweeted that it was the Kawamic fans letter.
It reminded me a lot of like Dwight Howard's old biography that he had on his website.
Yeah, were you able to find that?
I can't. I'll find it. I'll find it before we put it up. We'll tweet out a picture of it.
Yeah,
It's like
insane.
It's insane and dorky and not funny.
I can't believe Dwight Howard was those things.
Yeah, I know. But just like, thank you. But also, I mean, fundamentally, he'd been going back and forth the last few weeks. You know, the trade happened in mid-July. He had weeks to do it, and that's what he came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Was that shitty-ass letter and just saying... Thank you. He singled out one individual. And all he said was about Pop. He basically said, I'll always be grateful for my growth under your guidance. He said, thanks, Coach Pop. I'm good. Like, that's basically what he said.
Right.
I'm grateful I did so well.
It's also very strange that he's like, oh, man, whoa, it was so great. To go through all the ups and downs with you guys.
Yeah. And it's like...
When the downs are 100% Kawhi Leonard's fault.
The only downs that aren't his fault are like... Ray Allen hitting that... and Zaza Pachulia. But let's also keep in mind that he already had a sprained ankle at that point. Okay. look, we love Zaza here. We're a very pro Zaza podcast.
Thank you, Zaza Pachulia.
Thank you, Zaza. That is... Thank you. Thank you. Also, just compared to like what nice, heartfelt things DeMar DeRozan wrote immediately about the city of Toronto, like within minutes of the trade. And this took him weeks. I can't believe it. Also, the weird thing about it is Shams, great scoop from free agent Shams. Mm-hmm. Well, I almost called him Scams. That,
yeah, that
would have been blacklisted forever.
Problematic.
No, he's a great, he's a wonderful tiny journalist. for some reason, this letter came out at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I was awake for some reason. And I tweeted it out.
Yeah.
And friend of the pod, no friendo, was like, Joey, it's 4:30 in the morning. Why are you tweeting?
But like, the trade also broke in the middle of the night. Like, it's just weird. Like, it's.
Well, didn't the trade break so late because Masai was in Africa?
Well, that's what I'm assuming. So I'm like, is Kawhi in like Eastern Europe or something? Is he not? Like, or is Shams actually taking a vacation maybe?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it was 4:30 here.
Okay.
Which means it was 7:30 East Coast time.
Just.
Which is still too early.
Improbably early. This is a shitty letter. Let's just say that.
Yes. If somebody sent me... Okay. I'm gonna present you a hypothetical here, Sean. How old would the child have to be where you got this thank you letter for a gift, and it was exactly like this?
Yeah.
And you would think it was acceptable?
I mean, we're talking about, like... Now, look, I'm not trying to cast aspersions, because who knows who actually wrote this, but this
Uncle
looks
Dennis
like,
wrote this.
Yeah, it seems like it was written by a child with a learning disability. Like,
well, I don't want to call Uncle Dennis a child. Don't put words in my mouth.
No,
but
no,
this
no.
was not professionally done.
Yeah, I would say, but it's just like the all caps and the exclamation marks are so enthusiastic that they seem completely false.
Yes. Well, because it is.
Yeah. It's like a child sending me a thank you note like this. I would say they...
Eight. I'm saying eight.
You're saying eight? I'm saying I would still take it from like a seventh grader. Because I would be like, well, at least it is a thank you note. Like they maybe have not gotten into the 5-paragraph essay yet.
They drew that terrible hand logo.
Yeah, like at least they're trying to put it together. But yeah, like that should not be a way that you communicate with people post puberty, I would say.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
I mean, I'm still very optimistic about the Raptors because writing a letter will be something that Kawhi Leonard will not really ever have to do again unless he forces his way out of another town.
Here's what I don't understand. Like, why even write the letter?
Like, now? Yeah.
Like, no, but, I mean, look, you left contentiously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand thanking the fans.
Yeah.
If it's, like... real, but you don't have to do this. Like, I've left plenty of jobs and not written like thank you emails.
right. Well, also, wouldn't it have been more effective if he had just like taken out an ad that said thank you San Antonio?
Yeah,
like if it just simplified it. But the ups and downs, I'm glad there were many more ups, is like it's very Dwight Howardy. It's very, like, sociopath putting a smile on a suicidally depressed face.
Kawhi might as well have his arm around this letter while the letter is drinking a Diet Pepsi.
Like, I feel like this is a letter that Greg Popovich would have crumpled up and thrown away without finishing.
100%.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah. I really hope he sent Popovich a personal letter that was better than this.
Right? Like. Like, this is just imagine, like, what was the, like, condolence note he sent to Popovich after his wife passed? Just like, I've been thinking about it for a couple months since the death of your wife, and I just wanted to say, all caps, sorry. To the struggle you had taking care of her. Sorry. To forcing my way out of town while you were grieving the loss of your life partner. Sorry. Maybe his hand is too much of a claw and it actually takes him 3 weeks to write.
That actually might be.
He can't
that is
type.
The best, that is actually the best reason for this.
He's actually like just holding a pair of chopsticks in his enormous hands, hitting the keyboard one letter at a time. Yeah. And that's why it's like, it's like all caps. If he capitalizes something, it's so much of an effort that, you know, he's got to go the full words. And like italics, forget about it. That's why it's like whatever the default font on like my first letter software is that he's like, I can't change it. My hands are too big. Light blue, like the invitation to like a child's Valentine's Day party. Although I do think the font would be a good choice if you were inviting someone to a gender reveal party. Although
oh,
it's kind of
sure.
It's kind of tip in the hand that it's light blue.
Well,
but
if you're trying, it might be a feint though.
Oh, that's true. yeah, you're right.
Daddy's Look, always tricking. should we do an ad read now?
Yeah, let's put one in. This is our ad read.
Today's episode of Round Ball Rock is sponsored by Zipser Recruiter, the smartest way to hire Paul Zipser. If you have staffing needs for your business and that position needs to be filled by a 6'8" European, Zipser Recruiter is the best and only solution for you. Here's how it works. Visit Zipser Recruiter and choose from their five categories: German translator, shooting guard, henchman in an action movie, small forward, or bricklayer. Then Zipser Recruiter sends you a short list of candidates. An extremely short list. It's just former Chicago Bull Paul Zipser. Then you choose contract length, ranging from 10-day to 2-way to corporate training camp invite. Look, Paul Zipser is happy to just compete for a job, though you must provide tearaway pants with your business's logo. Zipser Recruiter has connected countless employees to Paul Zipser, including the Chicago Bulls, Bayern Munich, and the Windy City Bulls. Act now and receive a free Derrick Rose. And in a few months, Zipser Recruiter will also be able to connect you to Fred Hoiberg once he's unemployed. Use promo code DROUNDBALLD and get a pair of game-worn Zipser tights. Zipser Recruiter Mania. Catch it, then bobble it, and lose it out of bounds.
All right.
Thank
some
you.
Other big... Well, yeah, thank you, Zipser Recruiter. Hopefully you get signed. I like that guy. I've had Zipser Mania. It's a fun disease.
Yeah.
The Christmas games were released, Sean.
Yeah, I didn't mention the openers, which is, I mean, some of these just like duplicate, but.
Well, I do want to mention something about the openers.
Yeah, please. Let's do the
Lakers
openers
fans,
first. Yeah.
Get out of your feelings.
Oh, yeah.
So many Lakers fans I saw were complaining about, like, we've got to open on the road, and then our home opener is 4 days after the opener. And it's like, yeah, you've been a really terrible team for a very long time now.
Yeah, and also, you know, there's more teams in the Eastern... Like the Lakers were on TV a whole lot for a 25-win team.
Yeah.
You know.
They were on TV the maximum amount of times. The 32 or whatever it is.
Yeah. And, like, part of that is teams playing in the Pacific time zone are going to get to be on TV more because, you know, they do double headers on TNT.
Yeah.
So TNT's opening the season with Sixers at Celtics and then Oklahoma City Thunder at Warriors. Seems appropriate to me.
Although it's pretty fucked up, I gotta say, that they're gonna make Russell Westbrook watch Kevin Durant get his second championship.
Oh yeah. That'll be fun. That will be fun. Paul George will be there actually stumping for whatever Republican candidate.
Playoff GOP is gonna be there?
Playoff GOP.
Again, I wish I'd come up with playoff GOP. That is Julian Rodriguez at Juice Manji on Twitter.
Please,
follow him.
And
best basketball follow.
So yeah, it was just weird that people were complaining that the Lakers weren't opening until the third day of the season. But there's
complaining that they open on the road, I think, too. That was another complaint I saw.
Yeah, which is like, you know, the teams that have been hosting. Okay, so the games that are the opening games, it's like Sixers at Celtics. Okay, the Celtics, that's the 3 seed against the 1 seed last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Thunder and Warriors. It's like, you know, that's a real rivalry, and it's the NBA champion. The next night, it's Pelicans at Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, a superstar. And then the next, and I mean, there is a Mavs-Suns game that theoretically could have been a TNT game, but I think TNT just gets, I don't know, man. They're on the first Thursday TNT game.
Yeah.
They're playing the 3 seed. Portland should get to host that game.
Yeah.
They were way better last year.
But let's go through the Christmas games because that's more interesting. Openers. So at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
This game fucking sucks, dude. there is coal in your stocking and also shit on your television because it's the Milwaukee Bucks versus the New York Knicks.
The Knicks are not going to be good. They're probably not really going to be that fun, except this could be where Mario Hezonja really hits his stride. In a shootout with Giannis, that would be my Christmas wish.
This, to me, is so fucked up, I gotta say.
That the Knicks just get to host a Christmas game every year?
Like, what does Toronto have to do to get to play on one of these marquee days?
Did they not get to play on Christmas last year?
They've never played on Christmas, and their playoff games are always on NBA TV.
But isn't Canadian Christmas like December 11th or something?
No, they play on Boxing Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should play on Boxing Day.
but no, like, Bucks at Raptors would be 10,000 times better.
Yeah, but I think, I just feel like maybe they're picking, well, we'll get to this, but I think it's like, I mean, I really think the answer is it'll sell out. Lots of famous people go. It's at noon, you know, like it is.
Sure.
It's the spot for the shittiest game. And like last year, it was really fun to watch the Knicks rally to tie a game and then blow it at the end.
It's just crazy that, like, the Knicks just get to play on Christmas forever, no matter how good they are.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But isn't it also, like, kind of like a thing for NBA employees? Kind of? Like, is that, I don't know if that's part of the thinking, but, you know, like, the NBA offices are there.
But they don't have to go on the road to watch these games. all right, anyway, let's get to the 12 o'clock.
Yeah, game. You're right. I just kind of, it's the Mecca, you know, and what says Mecca more than Christmas? They should have to play Ramadan games if they're going to keep calling themselves the Mecca. Although Ramadan is a month long, so they are. Anyway.
All right, at 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
we have the Oklahoma City Thunder playing the Houston Rockets. It's a good game.
I love it. I love it. You know what I like
the
about
the mellow revenge game.
The mellow revenge game, and just one more opportunity to just talk about the James Harden trade at Christmas. Just ruining it a little more for Oklahoma City. And, you know, I'm sure. Well, actually, it's going to be.
I'll tell you who's not happy about this.
Who's that?
Playoff GOP.
No.
Because, once again, this is proof that there's a war against Christmas.
That's true.
That he has to work on Christmas.
Do you think he and Ted Cruz are going to hug before the game?
Oh,
number
100%.
One Rockets fan.
100%, dude.
Tillman Fertitta is going to be like, you personally saved me $50 million in taxes by helping to sway the Senate. Also, I think there's a good chance that the Rockets could win this game by like 30 points.
Why do you say that?
Just because, like, I think they're better, for one. And I could also, I mean, the Thunder got a lot better this offseason.
I think the Thunder might be better than the Rockets this year.
Wow.
I mean, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
But...
it just seems like a game where, like, if Eric Gordon gets hot, this could become, like, a terrible game at halftime. And, like, kind of embarrassing for Oklahoma City. I don't know why I think that, but they seem like they don't match up wonderfully with the Rockets because... they have, like, one guy on their whole team that can shoot threes.
Hmm. Okay.
That's the real reason. It's just but they should be a really good defensive team. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they went further in the playoffs. But I just think this particular Christmas game really could be, like, a James Harden, Chris Paul beatdown of the Thunder.
Here is one thing I will say. Helps you in that with that position is James Harden is whatever the opposite of a family man is, so
yeah,
he
true.
Does not care that it's Christmas.
No, and he'll be motivated by all the coal in his stocking from whatever he did to Moses Malone Jr. this year. That Santa also, like, his look is kind of evil Santa, right?
Yeah,
black beard, a little pudgy, you know. I'm still making fun of him for being fat like 3 years ago. Okay.
Right. All right, let's get to our next game.
Yeah.
Daddy's not happy because he has to play in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, he's going to have like an incredible...
Again.
He's going to have like a present reveal video that backfires on him horribly when his children realize Santa isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be tough. Is it risky to have games on Christmas in Philadelphia, like a place where they have like
they have
booed?
Not had a great yeah they,
yeah,
they
Santa
have a
and
great
Philadelphia.
Track record.
I also kind of feel like Philly's on such just a general citywide winning streak right now that just winning a Christmas game could also set off like a minor riot. Like, because if they decorate any, you know how like cities will sometimes like wrap up a street light to look like a candy cane,
yeah,
and that to like a Philadelphia fan, that's just like just makes the climbing easier. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, it's
like,
also
that's
like a
extra
like
traction.
A bull. It's like a when a bull sees,
oh, yeah, sees
the red. Color red.
Yeah, yeah,
they get really upset at Christmas. Christmas iconography.
They are for sure really pushing this Celtics Sixers rivalry because
why wouldn't they? They refuse to show Toronto on television,
they
so they
Toronto.
Have to show these two teams. Like no one else in the East is like what else are they going to show? Like Wizards Pacers?
Yeah. Well, you know they got a strongly worded letter from Kawhi Leonard about not putting the Raptors on, but unfortunately I arrived this morning. It took him so long to register his protest. But maybe they're just like, let's not put the Raptors on a big stage until it's absolutely necessary, because it doesn't go well for them. Like, let's let them make it to 2019 without having their hearts broken.
All right, and then your next game at 5 o'clock, the marquee game of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Lakers versus the Golden State Warriors.
Oh my gosh. In Oakland. What a...
I have a prediction here.
Yes.
This will be one of the first games Boogie Cousins plays with the Warriors.
Oh, that's perfect. That it's like his second or third game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't really have a reason to hustle back, but also it'll be like 10 months at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I could see that, like a kind of like our generation's Willis Reed, DeMarcus Cousins, coming out of the locker room with an injury and beating the Lakers, just like the original Willis Reed. The only thing I would say is I was really hoping that the NBA would, like, through an error or malice, just schedule the Cavs against the Warriors again. And they're like, wait, what? And it's just Colin Sexton turning the ball over the backcourt 17 times. I don't know why I think he would do that, but I think he would do that.
Sure.
Do you think the Lakers will be, like, rounded into shape playing as a team?
No. This will be their nadir, would be my guess.
It seems like they have a lot of Grinches on the team, too. Like, Rondo, straight-up Grinch. Lance Stevenson is a Grinch.
I will say something about Lance Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
I don't like him. He's a terrible person.
Uh-huh.
He pushed a woman down the stairs.
Yes.
But I did see a video of him playing pickup games while wearing a do-rag the other day, and that was tight.
He should
play in a do-rag.
I'm not excusing his behavior, but Lance Stevenson is cool.
All right. our next game, our final game of the night, the Portland Trailblazers at the Utah Jazz.
Oh, my God.
This seems like a weird one.
It is. It's like, so the slot for this last year, I think it was like...
Didn't the Wolves play in the slot last year? This is where they put the young team.
Yeah, this
where
is
it's like this is who we think is going to be the future of the league.
I feel like it's weird that Utah is hosting a game on Christmas. Only because
why would that be weird, Sean?
Just it seems like they're not always into Sunday basketball just when it's not Jesus' birthday.
Right.
And it seems like like wouldn't you just want to have the game in Portland maybe?
I don't know very much about Mormonism.
It might have just been their old owner, true. It might not reflect the fan base at all. I just know the old owner wouldn't go to playoff games even if they were being held on Sunday.
I don't know very much about Mormonism, but my question is what day did Joseph Smith find the golden tablets? Was that the 25th? Was that Christmas? Because
I read that John Krakauer book pretty recently about the history of the Mormon faith, and I'm gonna sit this one out.
Okay,
because I feel like I don't. This is one. Yeah, look, Gordon Hayward's unborn child is one thing, but the tenets of the Mormon. It is a weird matchup, though, right? I mean, I guess they could be two of the top four teams in the West. Like, they kind of had a rivalry last year, it seemed like.
I mean, this to me feels like the NBA going all in on Donovan Mitchell.
Which is, like, I would feel more comfortable with Donovan Mitchell if I didn't feel like there was such a calculated campaign behind it.
I mean, sure.
I mean, whatever. But, happens. It happens a bunch. But I just wonder, like, it's very possible that he's, like, okay next year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he was a good you know, he was good at getting buckets on a heavily defensive team without that many. But it's just not that uncommon for a guy in his second year to maybe the league to catch up with him a little bit.
Right.
But like, you know, I like the game because it's going to be some exposure to, like, both teams have such kind of like odd rosters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's like Nurkic and Gobert and Evan Turner and, like a big Australian guy. Like,
if Nurkic really wanted to become famous,
uh-huh,
he would fight Rudy Gobert in this game.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's the time to do it, dude. On Christmas, the ultimate outlaw.
Yeah.
And he's a Muslim. What does he care? Right? He's a big Bosnian. He's probably going to become a vegan. Like he might be in a band at this point, right? He's pretty Portland, right? Anyway,
yeah.
I think one thing that's great about this is that on the East Coast, this game is getting started at like 10:30. People are going to be like kind of sleepy, kind of drunk, and I feel like a lot of things in the game might seem surreal just because of like the odd, where you're like,
yeah,
is Portland like playing four white players right now?
Well, and also, like, why is no one on Portland taller than 6'5"?
Yeah, like, and then it's like, oh, well, here's the thing that people have to realize, too, is that a lot of people want to stay up late to see Derek Favors and catch a glimpse of him, but you don't want to do that because you won't get any mildly disappointing presents otherwise. You just need to go to bed, and then Derek Favors will drop off 12 points and 9 rebounds.
Yeah, he's
tree.
Like the NBA's elf on the shelf.
Yeah, right. Don't look directly at him.
Don't mention him.
Yeah. But actually, I'm very excited for the one thing that I will say about the trip is there's one player in the NBA who represents to me all the goodness of Christmas more than any other, and that is Ricky Rubio.
Oh, totally good. Great point, Sean.
Yeah, like
he is essentially like Will Ferrell's character in Elf.
Totally. Like, would you be surprised if he just ate like maple syrup and stuff from like hummingbird feeders?
Ricky, stop it, Ricky. Ricky, no. Get away, Ricky.
It's delicious. It makes me smile.
Ricky, no.
I'm excited. Like that Blazers Jazz game. I'm like getting more pumped about it.
I mean, it's weird you're getting pumped about it.
I don't know. I'm like talking myself into it. Also, I'm just like imagining my dad definitely falling asleep in the first quarter and periodically like shaking himself awake and asking me questions about what's happening, and then like
isn't he gonna turn it to The Sopranos? Like
I was gonna say he's notorious for that. I think he's gonna like flip it to whatever. Like if PBS is showing Austin City Limits, that's what he will.
It'll be like an Emmylou Harris concert.
He'll flipping it to Emmylou Harris or who's the young something something Junior, the guy who plays guitar, blues guitar, the young guy. I don't know. Anyway, my dad will do that, fall asleep, and then like at halftime he'll put on a live Grateful Dead DVD, and I'll get to see the fourth quarter of this game because we can't miss space music.
All right, and then let's just blow through the Martin King Day games.
Yeah.
Pelicans at Grizzlies.
Memphis should always host a game. This one should be fun, too.
Yeah. Rockets at Sixers.
The battle for Sam Hinkie's soul.
Also, two cities, I would say, with troubling racial pasts.
That's a very good point.
And the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Lakers. At the Lakers.
I mean, this is basically the Warriors-Cavs schedule that they have just ported over.
Right.
But, you know, two titans of equality, LeBron James and Steve Kerr. So, Steve Kerr, a lot of people haven't learned this, but he has opened a school for underprivileged surfers in the Pacific Palisades. So, congratulations to Steve Kerr.
You know how baseball now is giving out weird trophies for, like, dumb games?
Oh, where, yeah. Like the bridge series? The bridge trophy between the A's and Giants? Yeah.
Yeah. The Steph Curry versus LeBron James trophy should be the You Bum trophy.
Oh, that's great. And it's just, and, like, both teams can celebrate it. And
yeah, it's a plaque with that tweet on it.
Yes. You Bum.
All right, Sean, so the NBA officially has two holidays that they take over, Christmas and Martin Luther King Day.
That's the triple header. I think there's going to be more games on Martin Luther King Day. At least, if I remember correctly, it was like all day.
They usually play a lot of day games.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be like there might be an early ESPN game and a late ESPN game maybe. Anyway, yeah, they play a lot. Yeah.
So my question for you, though, is, are there any other holidays you'd like to see the NBA take over?
You know, I don't remember when the season starts exactly, but Columbus Day would be good. It might be too early.
I don't know when Columbus Day is, I'll be honest.
Well, it's that's because you know it as Indigenous Peoples Day. Because you live in California.
Mm-hmm.
The season opener is, hang on, it is October 16th, so too late for Columbus Day. I kind of feel like why just give Thanksgiving to football? You know what I mean? Like, this is where you should maybe let... Oh, actually, I guess they kind of like max out on that Friday.
Well, yeah, I've heard Adam Silver actually talk about this before. Which it's, if you're going to make the players
play on
work
Christmas.
On Christmas, you should give them Thanksgiving off.
All right, that's totally fair, Adam Silver. But yeah, they should, the Raptors should always play on Boxing Day. I definitely think that maybe it would take some doing, but if they could schedule some, like, love triangle games for Valentine's Day, that would be pretty tight. Like,
I would like to see... the NBA take over St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
Because all of the horrible white people are already out getting drunk. Like, let's make it a safe space for people of color to go watch basketball games to get away from the hate crimes happening in the streets.
Yeah, and the Boston Celtics just have to have an intra-squad scrimmage.
Yeah.
just like...
No, they're the one team that gets it off.
Oh, yeah, they get it off, and they have to, like, go to community policing events instead.
Yeah, I also think that the Chicago Bulls should have to play on Kazimierz Pulaski Day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't really know what the date of Kazimierz Pulaski Day is,
It's when that girl dies of cancer.
Yeah, I only know about it from a Sufjan Stevens song.
Yeah, he should get to pick their opponent. But he has to write an album about their home state.
No, they should have to play Sufjan and his band. He definitely has enough people in his band.
He does have a lot of people.
To field a basketball team.
Well, and he actually kind of, like, he wears his own merch on stage. So in that way, he's kind of like an NBA player.
Yeah. He is, but he's also very Kawhi Leonard-esque. Where it's like he speaks in whispers.
Yeah. Had a difficult time. Didn't he also force his way out of a Texas-based band? Oh no, they're the Danielson family is not from Texas, are they?
No, they're from Brooklyn.
Sorry, I'm thinking of course, the Spree.
Yeah. I mean, the Spree or the Ultimate, the Polyphonic Spree. Or the Ultimate. I would like to see an NBA player play 1-on-30 against the Polyphonic Spree. I've said it on the podcast before.
Uh-huh.
it would be magical. I think Joel Embiid should set that up.
Yeah, and wow. I feel like maybe you should make the Washington Wizards play on Dia de los Muertos because they're so into funeral games, and also they might kill each other this year.
I would also, I'm going to be honest, I want to see more New Year's Eve games.
Yeah. Seems like that'd be good, because they don't play on New Year's Day, right?
No. Well, New Year's Day, they definitely should play, because that is when people are super hungover,
and
I don't want to watch whatever bullshit true crime show Netflix is going to put up.
Oh, God. God, people and are going to be like, tweeting about it.
They're going up against that daytime hockey game. Like, who gives a shit?
Oh, it's outdoors. We made it all. So, yeah, they play a lot of New Year's Eve games, but what if they switch? Just feel like it should be, yeah, like, move New Year's Eve and make it New Year's Day.
I mean, you know why, though. They don't play on New Year's Day.
Everybody's hungover?
Yeah.
It's fair.
They don't want to make James Harden play on New Year's Day.
And actually, like, you make
him... He might vomit on the court.
Oh, my God. See, that would be special. They play a lot of games on New Year's Eve, by the way, based on last year.
I meant New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. They should just shift it. I understand why they won't, but, yeah, that would be way better. I mean, like, the bowl games are so weird anyway. Okay. Yeah, that's all I had about holidays, though, I think.
Well, you did bring up the bowl games.
Yes.
So, time to talk about the fucking NCAA, thing we try our damnedest not to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they injected themselves into my favorite sport this week.
Yeah.
Sean, do you want to run us through that story?
Yeah. So the NCAA, because, I don't know, half of the basketball programs in the NCAA are under FBI investigation for some reason. Again, kind of feels like you guys have better things to do with the FBI, but maybe this is keeping them away from, just surveilling and harassing black people. So, I mean, I guess they are surveilling and harassing black people ultimately by going after college assistant coaches. But so they had to make reforms. So they had noted basketball fan Condoleezza Rice chair a commission. she got a lot of information from weapons inspector Hans Blake. No. Okay, so here's... anyway, they were like, we got to reform. Our sport is super corrupt and dirty. So here are the things they did. They said, now, if you're a player who got invited to the NBA Combine and went undrafted, you can return to school. You're not locked into the draft. And you just have to say you want to come back on Monday.
Wow, how generous.
Yeah, and that would have affected six players this year. at least two of which are leaving college anyway. One of them is going to play in Australia. Okay, they also said if you are considered an elite prospect, you can sign with an agent, and an agent can, like, buy you a plane ticket and, like, buy you meals and stuff, and you can stay eligible, although you have to then break up with your agent when the season starts. And apparently, eligibility for who's determined elite is going to be made by USA Basketball. Except the NCAA did not tell them that.
What? Hold on.
Yeah.
Why is that USA Basketball's problem?
It is not, and they're not happy that the NCAA made this big announcement and did not, you know, clear it with them. They're also trying to get a subpoena power over schools, so apparently all chancellors and presidents and athletic department employees have to comply with an NCAA investigation. So I guess now they are like a law enforcement body.
Agency?
This is like the NCAA Patriot Act. And then school presidents and chancellors are now personally accountable for investigations. Now they can suspend coaches longer. I'm kind of
in favor
of that.
What's that? Hold on, though. Mm-hmm. Like, say that one about the chancellors again.
Apparently, school presidents and chancellors are now personally accountable for investigations, which I guess means they can get fined, but you can't, like, suspend a... Or I think the idea is that they're trying to keep, like, NCAA sanctions on executives, even if they change schools, maybe? I don't totally understand this one. But essentially, basically, the NCAA is trying to, like, bully their way into being able to, like, subpoena more material.
What I was wondering is, does that mean that, like, God forbid, again, like, another Michigan State-style thing happens, that the victims then sue the guy who was the chancellor and not the NCAA?
I mean, that kind of did happen with Penn State. And in fact, the guy who is currently running the NCAA apparently was personally informed in November of 2010 about 37 reports about Michigan State athletes sexually assaulting women. So congratulations, Mark Emmert.
Very cool. Very cool.
8 years later. Also, when he was the president of UConn, oversaw a project that lost $100 million due to mismanagement and more than 100 fire and safety code violations. Also was the president of, or chancellor at LSU when they hired Nick Saban. I mean, like, if you're the president of LSU, didn't you probably commit a lot of crimes? and he was the head of the NCAA during this FBI investigation. But nonetheless, he's good at getting rich people to give money to schools, and so he will have a job for life.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Can they sanction governors for letting people out of jail who murdered their wives to try and get their son to go to Big State? Is that part of this?
Yes. Big State is finally coming off probation from that accident.
from the Shuttlesworth incident.
Yeah, well, and the problem was Rick Pitino actually hired Mila Jovovich's character. Okay, so the other thing they're doing is they're trying to, like, clean up recruiting, and the idea is they have this insane thing where they're like, well, we're going to have this coordinated effort from the NBA Players Association, USA Basketball, the NCAA, and it's supposed to, like, basically they're trying to shut down the other shoe company camps that aren't the Nike one, which is like the Peach Jam or something, whatever that's called.
They're straight up just going after Sonny Vaccaro now.
Yeah, they basically are going after Sonny Vaccaro. They're choosing Nike. Now, these schools will still take all their sponsorship money. And I guess the idea is they're supposed to, like, they announced they're just going to have these huge camps with, like, thousands of high school players that don't exist yet. And players, instead of going to, like, organized summer basketball camp showcases, are supposed to, like, play with their high school teams because they've decided that what high schools need is more creepy college coaches hanging around for longer.
Very cool.
And one thing they did not reform is if you're an assistant coach who's like a video coordinator or something, still not allowed to actually instruct people on the court. They preserved that. I mean, it is absolutely,
why? What's the point of that rule?
I don't know. It was like the one thing where the coaches are like, look, we know there's some scandals, but there's a very common sense reform. These guys are on the staff. Like, I don't understand it. Like, all the recruiting is so dirty, and they made it creepier and dirtier. But the other thing is that because they're involving, like, USA Basketball with all this stuff, if you, say, were not born in America, you're kind of screwed by all these things. There's a lot of foreign players in the draft who go to American colleges.
Yeah.
It sucks. And also, another great NCAA news is a Wake Forest assistant was in New York this week. A guy knocked on his window because he thought he was his Uber driver. The coach punched the guy in the face. He fell and hit his head and never woke up and was taken off life support a couple days ago. So I don't really think that's murder, but also, I mean, the NCAA kills people. That's what I'm saying.
Did a demon deacon perform last rites?
He should have. It was actually just the ghost of Bobby Kremins was just like, ooh. Actually, I don't think he was the Wake Forest coach now that I said that. I think he coached Georgia Tech.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about these other things, I think.
There is one thing I want to talk about here, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But I had a question about college basketball.
Yeah.
This is the end of it, right?
it feels like it should just go back to, like, it doesn't really seem like a lot of college basketball fans particularly care about, like, the quality of the basketball. No. Like, they want their colleges to be better than the other colleges, but it seems like what college basketball fans really like is, like, a really athletically limited non-pro prospect who plays, like, 6 years somehow because of a medical thing, and they win their conference. Like, it doesn't really seem like having guys come for 1 year is good for anyone in the process, maybe?
No. The NBA never should have... Look, this is on the NBA in a way, because the NBA never should have instituted that age limit. That was shitty and racist and dumb and sucked.
Well, it's just adding, like, extra layers of corruption with, like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't really have a problem with teenagers who are good at basketball getting money. And it's like, the only thing, the thing that's messed up is when they're, like, screwed by their agents. And this has not solved any of the actual problems that have been investigated.
Here's a thing that I think is going to happen that I see a problem being with these terrible, dumb, fake rules.
Yeah.
One of these coaches is going to pay off somebody at USA Basketball to have their prospects not called elite prospects.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the other thing is that, like, so they're supposed to have all these high school camps. What's the motivation of college coaches who are recruiting them to even invite those players? Like, it's just another way to just stash them, and it just seems like you're taking even more agency away from these guys, you know?
Yeah. Sucks. Fuck the NCAA.
Fuck the NCAA.
All right, the last thing I wanted to talk about here.
Yeah.
Is Carmelo Anthony verbally agreed to sign with the Houston Rockets?
I don't
Rockets
think he's signed his contract
week.
Yet.
He has not signed his contract yet. This has been the NBA transaction version of a Carmelo Anthony possession.
Yeah.
This is like Daryl Morey and Carmelo Anthony have the ball, and they are just jab-stepping, 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 pump-faking, 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 jab-stepping, jab-stepping, jab-stepping.
I mean, I guess he knows where he's going, but, like, what's the holdup? Why is... it's so crazy. But you're right. Slow.
It's perfect.
Ball stopping. He's isolated Shams at this point. And it's just like, I'm going one-on-one with Shams. I'm feeding him information. I mean, I guess it's more that he's putting up stories. He's not really passing, because that's not Melo's thing.
There is nothing more perfect than what is going on here between the Rockets and the and Melo.
It's
beautiful.
It's aging Daryl Morey more by the day.
Oh, he doesn't care.
No, he's already just focusing on Tony Awards.
Yeah, he's like, He's too busy arguing about how kicking Alex Jones off InfoWars is a violation of free speech and a slippery slope.
Great job, white NBA Twitter libertarians this week. Just doing just wonderful work.
Just, it's kind of a slippery slope with Alex Jones, you know.
That's like, you have to realize if you are a libertarian, your team has the racists. Like, it's, that's the team you're on. Libertarians, you might think you're just an intellectual and you're making, like, a real thoughtful argument, but in reality, you are on the team of the client change deniers, the billionaires, and the racists. So
what I don't understand, and look, we probably should point out, Daryl Morey did make this argument. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I don't understand about that specific subsect of libertarians who are like, kicking Alex Jones off now is a violation of free speech because Twitter and YouTube have become the new public square.
Yeah.
Where, like, if liberals started arguing that YouTube and Twitter and these private companies have become the new public square, so then therefore they should become public utilities.
Right.
Those libertarians' heads would fucking explode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are the same people who are fine with selling off the broadcast spectrum. also, why does every libertarian argument have to go back to this, like, 1776, the musical idea of America, where it's like, why are you talking about a public square? Because it's 1780, and they're like, oh, this is where you tack up your proclamation, and you try to convince other slaveholders to vote with you.
Yeah, they,
like, congratulations, founding fucking fathers.
They're all super into Martin Luther and not into Martin Luther King.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's all these super bullshit companies, like fake foundations that are always like, oh, the James Madison Foundation, the Thomas Paine Foundation. Give it a rest. Talk to somebody not on Twitter.
Yeah. Also, kick Alex Jones off the fucking earth.
Yeah, dude. No one needs that. I think maybe they should let him have InfoWars, but only the commercials for the supplements.
Still make the same amount of money, right?
You just take out the rants, and you just have to get to the point where he's just like, he's just been screaming like, they're taking your souls! And then it's just like, here's a product that really helps you if you've got IBS. I've suffered from that myself. The media doesn't want you to know about these acai berries.
He does probably call it acai berries, right?
Yeah, that's what I assume. He's just like,
also, you know what else I'd be into kicking Alex Jones out of?
Mm-hmm.
Richard Linklater, go back into Slacker. Mm-hmm. And cut him out of Slacker.
Oh, yeah.
And then re-release it.
Yeah.
Right? It's Slacker he's in, or is it Waking Life? It's one of those ones.
I think he's in Slacker.
What if he was in Waking Life?
Cartoon
Alex Jones.
Yeah, what? No, he is in Waking Life.
It's Waking Life, yeah.
No, he's in A Scanner Darkly. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. A Scanner Darkly. Richard Linklater, go into A Scanner Darkly and cut Alex Jones out of it.
This is really weird. Let me find this. I didn't realize Richard Linklater made Last Flag Flying. Oh, no, he's in Waking Life and A Scanner Darkly.
Yeah.
It's just because he was still on Public Access then.
Yeah, no, he was like an Austin weirdo. It makes sense, but I just mean now, go back and kick him out.
yeah.
Cut him out. Re-release those Alex Jones free.
Yeah, like you can't, what if like they just replaced him with like Lincoln commercial outtakes of Matthew McConaughey. What if he went back and reshot him, but it was all Elon Musk? What about that?
Oh my God, that's another fucking guy. All right, he's going to prison. Oh, we can't talk about this on the pod. We got to finish this episode.
Yeah. Sorry.
The epic bacon millionaire is going to be going to epic jail time.
Oh.
Sean, mm-hmm. What would you like to plug?
I'd like to plug. You know what? I'm gonna plug one of these San Francisco shows that is a ways in the future, but I think if you are in the city, you're going to check those out. I'm doing the Sunday Showcase two Sundays in September, but the one I'm very excited about, I want to just make sure I have the day right. It is the fourth Monday in September. I'm doing a show at the Alamo Draft House, and we're going to be riffing on the movie Almost Famous. And I feel like I need to have like a 4-hour phone conversation with Joey to prepare
lots
for riffing
gates,
on that
dude.
Movie. Yeah, look, it's Marc Maron's greatest acting role. I mean, I'm not going to watch Glow, so I'm going to assume that it's Marc Maron's greatest acting role.
Well, didn't you see Marc Maron's going to star in the new The Joker movie with
Jared Leto?
No, it's Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh my God, who are your guys, Joaquin? And Joaquin's like, my brother River, Casey Affleck, Spike Jones, a girlfriend who's not old enough to legally drink. Those are Joaquin Phoenix's guys. Anyway, September 24th at the Alamo Draft House on Mission Street in San Francisco.
Plug something else.
Oh, and I'm also going to do our friend Jeff Zamaria's show, which is called Up on the Roof. It's a really cool show. And
it's at his house, right?
Oh, is it the roof of his house? That's probably
I believe
right.
It
yeah.
is, yeah.
It's in, like, Knob Hill, I want to say. Anyway, I'll be tweeting it out, but it's on Saturday, September 8th, and I'll also be at the Throckmorton Theater in Marin on September 11th.
Never forget.
Never forget to come to Mill Valley for that show. It should be fun.
Also, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where... on October 21st, 2017, I tweeted, when you go to the store and end up leaving with 5 new pairs of at Fila USA shoes, including this Monday's dance shoe, hashtag my go-to shoe.
I mean, that's actually one of the tweets that makes me feel the best about Frankie. Right?
Well, what about this one? How does this make you feel about Frankie? 8/31/15. Dear Twitter, please stop suggesting that I follow Barack Obama. I will never follow Barack Obama. Ever.
I'm going to say Barack Obama has never worn Fila's.
He might have had those Grant Hill ones.
Actually, those are pretty cool.
All right. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's kick Alex Jones off of everything.
Yeah.
Yo, this is G-Time right here. Allow me to introduce B Rizzo on the mic, along with Gino. Let's do this real quick one time. Yo, I drive to the cup, just call me Ronnie. Step back, 3 balls, wet like the sun. I got balls waiting on the rack. I put up charge, just call me Mr. Mac. Rebound time, I go hard when I crash. I can be a point dish, dime like Steve Nash. Call me Rip, cause I got the mid-range. Game on the line, call me King James. Yeah, just wanna be on the top with a triple-double. I practice at the church, I practice at the buckle. Both those places are my home court.
check the ball, Rook. I defend my fort. I'm too big, yo. Too big, yo. I'm too big, too big, too big, yo.
Yo, my name is Gino. Let me spit this real quick flow. My triggers already know that I stack a ton of dough.
Oh!
But moving on, I'm trying to get on beast mode like LeBron. Others call me JJ Redick, cause when I shoot it, they say cash or credit. So if you're on defense, you might as well forget it. Like Ronald Norris, he regrets it.
I'm too big, yo.
Nah, man, I'm too big, though.
Hold up, I'm small, though.
It's all good, man, I'm tall, though.
Yo, but I'm too big, yo.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.